Heading on into the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome to it, Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan, chance for you to play some trivia right now. Perhaps find yourself on your way to Las Vegas, Nevada, giving away a qualification to win our grand prize. Two nights stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to see Kool in the Game. Kool in the Gang, shortly about to be Hall of Famers. They're backed by popular demand, multiple sold-out shows, and Kool in the Gang will be on stage at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Their residency through the end of 2024. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, that features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. Here's even better news for you. Not only will you qualify for a chance to go to Las Vegas, but you will be going to see our professional volleyball team in action next Tuesday, May the 7th, the San Diego Mojo taking on the Columbus Fury.
Remember, that's my Fury.
You love the Fury for whatever reason. But you don't have a Mojo sounder. You only have
I don't
Fury.
Know what a Mojo sound would be like.
You can only display Fury.
Isn't there
that's Fury, but you can't display Mojo.
Isn't the Mojo like an eagle? So
Mojo's a feeling. Mojo's a feeling. I think the logo's
an eagle or something.
The logo might be an eagle, but an eagle is an eagle.
Okay, good point.
Four pack of tickets to see the Mojo Fury May 7th, next Tuesday, Viejas Arena. Grab tickets now at provolleyball.com. All right, so that is what we have on tap. Dial in 833-288-0973. Got one thing coming up in about 15 minutes. One of our favorite NFL teams did something incredibly stupid today. We will explain what that is in about 15 minutes. But now, Scraby, let's play some Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're about ready to roll here. Scrape will give you the rules in just a moment. I believe yesterday we had a one and done. I think first person called in or got through yesterday won the game.
Yes, they did.
After you had told everybody, regaled everybody with tales of my excellence, I was far from excellent yesterday.
Brandon, did he get through it? Did he answer all three? No, he didn't answer the third question correctly.
Yeah, I think we both missed the third question, which meant victory for Brandon in the way Chris versus the Fans works.
All right. The rules.
What do you got?
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the
question
wrong.
Don't worry, folks. He gets distracted easily out there. This is not surprising.
I thought about something else in the middle of reading
this.
Made
it, the way you did that, it was like a squirrel ran across your point of vision there.
May as well have been.
Yeah.
If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You will get that one for free. All right.
Awesome.
Awesome.
You know who likes to say that?
Who?
Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, he does. He says, awesome.
Awesome. That's when he's really not happy about something.
Yes, that's when I know. Don't joke with Tony right
Tony,
now.
Tony, Lakers lost.
Awesome.
Tony, Lakers fired Darvin Ham. I don't know if that was awesome or not for him. I didn't really get his... I couldn't really quite figure out whether he was happy about that or not. We talked about it earlier.
Yes. But I couldn't figure it out either. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know yet.
I know I wasn't happy about it.
Yeah. He didn't deserve to get fired, I don't think.
Well, I don't care about Darvin Ham one way or the other, but like I said, if you're going to fire everybody who loses a playoff series, there's not going to be anybody left. I mean, I don't know. The guy's been pretty successful in 2 years. I know it wasn't.
You know what I think the Lakers should bring in?
But come on.
I think the Lakers should bring in Doc Rivers. He would be a great replacement.
Why not?
Everybody else wants Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Jeez.
All right, here we go. First contestant, Adam in Poway. What's up, Adam?
What up, guys? How you doing today?
Very good,
pretty
Adam.
Good. Are you ready to play?
Hey, I'm ready to play. Last time I called you guys, I didn't tell you I was a first-time player. Is there any way I could get that credited today?
No.
So
yes. Man, the answer is yes.
What?
Yes.
You're giving it to
Let's
him?
Go.
The answer is yes.
Since as when, long do, you as have, since when do you have more power than me?
Since always.
All right, Adam, you got it. You're all right, on to question two.
See, Adam, I believe, is telling the truth, so that's why.
Oh, I believe he's telling the
I
truth.
Swear.
But I'm just saying he's a second-time player by definition.
We got a first-time player!
All right, give it to him. Go to number two, Scrape.
All right, what college was Coach Prime the head coach of before Colorado?
Tricky.
Jackson State.
Jackson State is correct.
Adam's
Let's
already.
Let's go!
Oh, Adam wants this. I
he
like
wants,
it.
He wants
like
a chance
it.
To go All to right. Las Vegas.
Here we go. Question number three. It's going to be a tough one.
Oh.
That could be good. I might miss it.
Who was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers during LeBron James' rookie season?
No, man. I barely almost remember.
Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers would be a great answer. Although it does not... It's not right this time. Chris, do you know?
I think I do.
Really? This is the stuff Chris knows, and so when I write it, I'm like, he... 75% will get this one.
Yeah. I think it was the guy who used to coach the Clippers, Paul Silas.
Wow.
I pulled that out
I'm
of
sorry,
left
Adam.
Field.
I'm watching like a hawk over here. He's not doing anything funny.
Paul Silas. Yeah, he was a coach of the Clippers way back when, and I remember him just being the guy that had to try to bring LeBron through his first season.
He
was a Hall
job.
Of Fame player back in the day, Paul Silas.
Silas
yeah,
oh. Wow,
good
that
player
was
for the
crazy.
Celtics, Sonics.
That was crazy. All right, let's go to Aaron in Ocean Beach.
It's one of those ones Aaron. That sticks with me. Sorry about that, Aaron. Too bad.
No, that was Adam.
Close, Adam. Sorry, close
yeah,
call
no,
there.
No
How's it going,
worry.
Aaron?
I'm not sure I would have gotten that one either.
No, but right. Aaron's happy because you get a chance.
Yeah,
Aaron.
You ready
That's
to play?
Yeah, I am not a first-time player. I have won before. It was a while back, though. So.
Okay. Well, he wanted to make sure he got that
You're in the
though.
Hall of Champions.
He wanted to make sure he got that in. I have won before.
Well, he should. He should.
That's right.
If you beat Chris, you
a
have...
A win is a win. That's
yes.
right.
All right.
It's
here we go.
It's
a win, baby.
That's
First
right.
question. What Philadelphia Eagle had 12 weeks as the number one jersey sold in football last year?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts.
There you go. Can't believe it was 12 weeks. They were pretty bad the second half of that season.
The Eagles collapsed last year.
Yeah,
complete,
really
total
bad.
Collapse.
Oh, yeah.
They were 10-1, and the next thing you know, they were getting crushed by Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs.
When the tush push failed, the Eagles'
tush push is going away,
over.
Pal. It's going away. No Jason Kelce, no more tush push.
All right, here we go, Aaron. Question number two. Earlier this year, Blazers player DeAndre Ayton missed a game for what reason?
My God.
A weird reason.
Oh, my God.
You were really happy about that.
A weird reason. That's why I asked it.
Didn't he, like, fall down in the bathtub or something like that?
Fall down in the bathtub. Unfortunately, that's not it, but I don't know that Chris remembers this.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
He sneezed and threw his back out.
He sneezed?
That was Sammy Sosa did that once,
yes.
So I thought I'd try it on DeAndre Ayton. I don't know. He basically missed the game because he didn't even want to play. I mean, he didn't even like playing. I don't know. What did he do?
Remember he got iced into his house and they couldn't get
what?
To him? Remember when the streets were all icy around his house?
He was iced in.
And the team sent a car, but they couldn't drive to his house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was iced in because he didn't want to play anyway.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, you are on your way to question number three. Here we go. Which position was drafted most in the 2024 NFL Draft?
Every pick?
Every pick.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. If I say, like, offensive line, will that cover all offensive linemen?
I will say that is incorrect if you say offensive line.
Evidently was an offensive lineman.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll go with wide receiver then.
Wide
receiver.
Receiver.
Interesting selection.
Stay there, Aaron.
Well, I'm going to eliminate.
Well,
I'm going to eliminate punter.
Yes. Although they did take a punter.
Somebody
the
get
Bears.
Taken. Quarterback seems like it'd be fun, but there really weren't that many selected, so I don't think it's that. You just eliminated offensive line.
I did not.
Oh, you mean you won't allow that as an answer, but
the offensive
you
line
want a more
is not
specific.
A position. Offensive tackle's a position. Offensive guard's a position.
I see. Well, offensive tackle was the record for the first round because you asked that the other day. I'm going to say linebacker. I really don't know.
Linebacker.
I am.
Wow. Aaron is a winner. Stay right there, Aaron.
Good for you, Aaron.
I'm going to get your information in the break. The answer was cornerback.
Yeah.
Cornerback.
Yeah, they need those guys. Cornerback, which I believe to be the most difficult position to play in all of sports.
I don't know about all sports.
What's more difficult?
I'm trying to think
real
quick. I mean, quarterback's a pretty difficult position to play in the NFL.
Quarterback,
yeah. Yes.
I think cornerback is harder than quarterback.
Cornerback might be the most physically demanding position in all sports.
It's unbelievable. You got to try to keep up with these absolute track stars.
That are 6'5", 235 pounds.
They know where they're going. You don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
And just for fun, when you're not doing that, you have to come up and take on the blocks of pulling offensive guards on sweeps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Try to make tackles.
Yep.
I think cornerbacks have it the toughest.
They really do. Yeah, they're the best
athletes
on the field for sure.
They are amazing. All right, Aaron, you're amazing. That's your second win, according to Aaron, anyway.
Yep.
So good for him. You're now a multiple-time winner of Chris vs. the Fans.
Multiple-time winner!
Yeah, hopefully you'll be a winner of the trip to Las Vegas. You will be going to see the San Diego Mojo next week in action against Scraby's Columbus Fury. You sound like a pirate, honestly.
No, the pirate would be
Fury. You don't sound furious at all.
No, I'm furious!
Sound like you're pillaging over there.
Pillaging?
So be careful. All right, Padres and Diamondbacks coming up a little more than an hour from right now. Sam Levitt's pregame show will be headed your way. Padres begin play tonight. I don't know if anybody's concerned about this yet, but they're beginning play 1.5 games out of a playoff spot. For all of the people,
wait a second,
read Brian Kinney and Jeff Passan and all of these national people who think the Padres are to blow up their team and they're the most disappointing team in baseball, game and a half, it's a little early to be blowing up the season under those circumstances, I must say.
I was just about to say, if I were to bring this up, you would be like, we're talking about playoffs in game 34?
It's game 35, though.
Okay,
tonight.
Fine.
So that's okay.
You.
All right, when we come back, one of our favorite teams, it could be yours, it could be mine, stupid move today. We'll discuss it when we return. The Big Five is at the bottom of the hour. Traffic is now on Gwynn and Chris. Hello, hello. 4:20 is the time, Chrisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Arizona, getting ready for Padres baseball. He'll be rejoining us for the Big Five here in a few minutes. Matt Scraby alongside in the Odyssey Palace studios. Just outside these studios, the great Sam Levitt is preparing for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show, which follows our show shortly after 5:30 this afternoon. NBA playoffs tonight. Playoffs. First quarter, Cleveland 13, Orlando 12. Orlando trails 3-2. Cleveland trying to advance to a second-round matchup with Boston. Scraby, your team, your NFL team, did not do anything stupid today.
Not that we know.
Not that we know of. My team did. What player, free agent, floating around out there, have I been saying for weeks and weeks, months and months, that the Dolphins absolutely positively should not waste time by signing?
Odell Beckham Jr.
And who did they sign today?
Odell Beckham Jr. This has been the worst kept secret.
Yeah, it kind of has. They've been, you know, going back and forth on this. And every time I hear it, I'm like, no. Certainly you can use the $3 million just more, you know, smart.
Three? You mean eight?
Well, the contract can go up to eight.
Oh, okay. That changes my thoughts a little bit, because how I saw it published, which is kind of misleading, it says that he's making $8 million.
No, $3 million straight up. Incentives can push it to $8 million.
Okay, I don't think it's so bad.
I believe last year he caught, what, one pass for the Ravens?
No,
and it was a unbelievable down-the-sideline, toe-tapping, 50-yard gain against the Dolphins.
That's the
only time I saw
them.
Odell Beckham all year long.
He caught 35 passes for 565 yards.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
They've already got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle.
He's not the deep threat, though, anymore.
He's a nothing threat.
For $3 million, I would have been okay with the 49ers taking him.
$3 million? Why waste the money? Get yourself some offensive line help.
Because
The Dolphins are stupidly attracted to shiny objects. They want everybody to think they're, you know, a Ferrari. The problem is that they don't have any meat to their team. The Dolphins, it's easy for me to say as a fan, but it drives me crazy. They're wimps. They're not tough. They can get overpowered by any team, especially in December when having power matters. Miami is a wonderful carnival on turf in the early part of the season at home against lousy teams. Then they can win. What was it last year? 70-something against Denver?
Yes.
They got 70.
Yeah.
Everybody got all excited by that. Well, they only got 7 in Kansas City when it really mattered. So, you know, I'm just not sold on the Dolphins until they get, you know, I really do, and I think the 49ers are a good example of this, but you build champions from the inside out. That starts at the ball. And that goes to offensive and defensive line and linebackers and tight end. You know what I mean? And you eventually get to the skill people. The Dolphins go backwards. They go to all the shiny objects that are running backs and skilled receivers. They don't get anybody who can block for them. And ultimately, the team gets blasted when it, you know, get late in the year.
I don't know that
this has been happening for a long time.
I don't know that this is as bad as you're making it. I think you maybe are too close to the situation. For $3 million, that's
you think it's a good risk.
It's a good chance. You're taking a chance on him. He could have a huge season.
How?
I mean,
when is the last time Odell Beckham had what you would call a huge season? I'll be honest. I'm honestly asking you the question.
It's been a while. Let me tell you. It's been a while.
I mean, it has been a long time. He tore his
2019. He had 74 catches for 1,000 yards.
In 2019.
Yep.
That's 5 years removed from him really doing anything.
Yeah.
I know he did catch a pass or two in that Super Bowl for the Rams.
He had 27 catches for 305 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. He did okay with the Rams, but that was also, what was that, 2021?
21.
Yeah. So that's still 3 years ago. I don't know that you just throw $3 million at something that's a waste of time. I mean, I think it's a waste of time.
I'm looking on the chat. Jack says OBJ is washed. Joseph says Chris acting like they gave OBJ wide receiver one money.
But again, if you gave wide receiver six money, it's still a waste of money if you don't think the player is any good.
Well, for $3 million,
you're
expecting
him. And I don't think the player is any good.
For $3 million, Chris, you're expecting him to do exactly what he did last year, catch 35 balls for 500 yards
what,
and three
not
touchdowns.
Be involved in anything that I do?
He's a decoy guy, Chris. Maybe not anymore.
Oh, gee. Hey, there's Tyreek Hill. There's Jaylen Waddle. Oh, look out. There's OBJ. Let's all gang up on him.
Let's go. Yeah.
You know, I don't know what stupid team's going to do that.
That's true. We need to triple team OBJ. You know, if we're talking about him, his career, do you think, has it been disappointing? Because he started out so... Like, he was the it guy in the NFL there for
he
a little bit.
He made the greatest catch anybody's ever seen.
Yeah.
And we all reacted to it, you know, like it was this guy was the next Jerry Rice. He had 91. Yeah. Look, he had 91 catches, 96, and 101. His first 3 years, and he had 35 TDs in those 3 years. He was all that.
Superstar.
Yes, but that's 10 years ago.
Oh, no, I get that.
So
I would say that his injuries have just slowed his entire career down.
Fine. I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at the team that's signing him.
Joseph also makes a good point. You're not getting O-line help with $3 million.
Well, you can use it towards getting something. I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, Joseph, you're right. But again, I follow the Dolphins a lot closer than most people. And they are attracted to these shiny objects, and they don't do their homework when it comes to the meat and potatoes that they need to be successful.
You think Tua's like, man, they didn't give me any blocking?
No, he's
again?
Like, hey, another weapon. This is great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he does know how to fall now, so it's okay.
Do you want me to look up their record against winning and losing teams over the last two years?
I can't go there again.
Yeah. I don't really want to go there either because it just breaks my heart every time I do it. We'll take a break. Big Five's coming up next. It's a good one today. Tony rejoins. It's next on Gwen and Chris. All right, Gwen and Chris returns. Big Five coming up shortly. 4:34 is the time. We're about an hour from Sam Levitt's Padre pregame show. And then EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. Then at 6:30, rather, Padres take on the Diamondbacks. I have one baseball score to pass along. Rockies nothing, Pirates nothing. The reason I'm passing that along, Rockies are not yet trailing in this game.
Oh.
They're trying to keep alive their streak.
Of not,
or not trying to keep alive their streak. The Rockies they've trailed in every game they've played this year. That has never happened before in Major League Baseball to this length of a season.
Like, I can't believe they've never just hit a home run in the top of the first inning or something.
Well, they have, but they've given that lead away. They did lead 5-0 in the bottom of the ninth the other day in Miami, and then gave up 5 and then lost an extra innings.
They did.
The Rockies are really, I think, people are looking in the wrong place. Everybody's talking about the White Sox are going to set the record, the Mets, you know, the 62 Mets, and lose 130 games. I think the Rockies are the team to keep an eye on because I think Bud Black's going to get out of there before the end of May.
Wait, you think he's going to be out?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
If you watch the way they played the other day, they're base running. They're like a circus right now. None of their young players are developing. I mean, none of them, except maybe a little bit of Ezekiel Tovar. Other than that, they've got nothing to look forward to. They've got nothing in the farm system. They've got one of the worst owners in the league. And Bud Black deserves better. I just think, I don't know how long he stays there and puts up with this crap. I don't know that he walks out on the team.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a mutual parting of the ways.
I mean,
I'll be shocked if he makes it through May.
Wouldn't
the way they're playing, they're really bad, Scrape. You know,
why wouldn't they do this before the year, though? Why would they go into the year?
They were hopeful.
About what? They gave him no one on his team.
Well, they were hopeful. You know, the Tovar was coming along. Nolan Jones, who's been a complete
disaster,
and now is on the injured list. They're hoping Chris Bryant would start earning some of his money. That's not happening.
True.
So, you know, look, Bud Black had no chance. I agree with you, Scrabe. But I think that I'll be surprised if he lasts, you know, through, let's just give myself a little more time, through June.
All right.
And then the Rockies make a move. And then once he leaves, then they're really bad. They're really bad now, but then Bud Black leaves and they're historically bad. All right, let's check traffic. Tony's ready, in place, Big Five me.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everybody, make sure you stick around for number three because Pat Bev, as we've talked, he's had an interesting 24 hours. And if you're in the media and you need to speak with him, you have to do one thing. So stick around and I'll tell
you what
that
do?
One thing
you
is.
You buried the best one at number three?
yeah, I wanted people to stick along a little bit. I knew that TSL, time spent listening, would be lengthy.
Did you attend any journalism school of any kind?
I actually did go to college and did some communication courses.
Did you pay any attention?
Yes, I paid a lot of attention.
Normally, if you have a list like this, you want to make something really good right off the beginning, or you want to finish strong.
No,
you don't want to bury the lead at number three.
Maybe as a journalist, but as a radio guy, I got to make sure people stay with us. So I don't want people to get through number five and be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
so I
got to
wait till number
no,
three.
No, you're telling them to wait for number three, which is very, you know, that's smart because they will wait at least.
Smart.
Hang on. They will wait at least to three. But now they may fade out for numbers 2 and 1 because you've already told them that 3 is your strong point.
We all know that 2 and 1 aren't the best ones on the list.
So. Wow. Wow. He's talking about his own work. Like, yeah. You should talk about
I mean, you
take a little
sometimes.
Take a little pride, will you?
I do take lots of pride. Sometimes my number one comes to me about 3 minutes before I do it.
Most of the time it comes to you.
We're going to start with the A's today.
He says I take a lot of pride as he wears his wrinkled shirt today.
It.
Wow, the pen just flew.
Now, can you get my pen off the floor? Because I can't walk around that far and still talk. But wow. You know, I am wearing a shirt today that I just took the tags off that I bought a year ago, thanks to SD Fat Loss. And I thought the wrinkles were going to fall out by the time I got to work. They have not.
Not quite.
It's very wrinkled. So now I'm very self-conscious. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
But it's a nice shirt.
Okay. The Athletics.
It beats out the Killer Whale Nike shirt by a mile.
Nothing beats out that shirt.
Oh, that's right. His favorite joint.
All right. Can we get to this? The A's have hired, and I'm going to butcher this name. It's either Galatioto Sports Partners or Galashoto Sports Partners, an investment firm that specializes in sports financing, to scrape together some cash, according to Bill Shaken of the Los Angeles Times. The A's hope Galashoto can secure an additional $500 million in funding that the team can use to build a new ballpark in Las Vegas. In exchange, investors would be rewarded with minority share in the A's franchise. Chris, it's not really a question, but is this a mess or what?
Oh, it's a mess, all right. I don't know. Do you just walk around and come up upon $500 million? I mean, that's not just a, you know, chump change. That's going to be tough for anybody, even if this investment firm is like really good at what they do. The baseball is going to have to step in here at some point and make this guy sell this team or get involved somehow. This transfer from Oakland to Las Vegas is getting uglier and uglier, and I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I'm kind of enjoying the chaos in the interim. I do feel bad for the players on that, you know, on that team in that franchise, whose only hope for the next 3 years is to play at a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. But I don't know that they're ever going to get their major league ballpark in Las Vegas because I have no faith in the A's.
Yes, Tony, what do you think? How big of a mess is this?
Yeah, no, it's certainly a mess. Is really kind of light. for how Major League Baseball like wants to conduct their business, they want teams, if they're going to move, to have everything kind of lined up or at least close to lined up, and then you know you can kind of figure out. I mean, I'm sure just the whole AAA Sacramento thing is not. I'm sure Major League Baseball would prefer it not be that way, but you know it does seem like they have all been kind of slow to get involved. It seemed like even when the mess was happening in Oakland, they were slow to like get involved before they like had to put some time mandates down, it seemed like. So I don't know. I hope they get this figured out one way or another. You know, if they're not gonna actually be able to move, they need to figure out something in Oakland, right? Am I off on that? I don't know where this even goes if it doesn't end up going to Las Vegas at this point. Because it seems like they've closed the door on that no matter what. So
I've talked to a few people that live in Sacramento, and they're hoping that it just goes their way and this all falls apart.
They just
and then,
play in a minor league ballpark for the rest
then,
of time?
And then Sacramento figures it out. But Sacramento has wanted a baseball team for a really long time. I don't know why they should get one.
Well, who wouldn't want a Major League Baseball team if it just falls in your lap? But you know, you've got to. I think the city has to do its part in order to get a Major League Baseball team, and it doesn't sound like Las Vegas cares to do anything
it really
about
doesn't.
These guys. So, you got a crappy owner and a city that doesn't doesn't want them. This is a terrible combination, and I blame a lot of it on Corey Seager's pal,
Rob
Manfred. Because he just seems like he's asleep at the wheel here. He's like, you know what? I don't know what to do, so
well,
you guys figure it out.
So who cares?
Well, it's embarrassing his sport, you know, and he ought to be smart enough to realize that.
You know, what's different is, you know, there used to be, in Major League Baseball, there used to be there was a few owners that you knew were like the big dogs, because they always spoke up in these times, right?
George Steinbrenner would not allow this to happen on his watch.
Because ultimately, that is the club, right? It's the owners, the commission, they're all like in this big club. And so, like, there was usually, in the past, there was always somebody, whether you agreed with them or disagreed with them, that was kind of like the that would speak out. It doesn't seem like there's anybody like that anymore. I mean, the guys that are who used to do it are much older. With the White Sox, what's the owner's name there?
Reinsdorf.
It's Reinsdorf. I mean,
he's pretty quiet, though.
He's pretty quiet. But remember, he was the one who came out and said that if they had went on strike for the whole year, they could have broke the union. Like, he was the one that was vocally talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even seem like anybody has interest, or maybe they're doing it on purpose. Like, we hope this fails, and that way we keep our hands clean on all this.
Well,
all
baseball ought to figure this out, and I know we're going way too long on one subject.
Yeah,
but
we are.
Here's the thing. Baseball right now has an issue. There are four teams that are pathetic organizations right now in Major League Baseball, at least four. There might be more. And, you know, the fact that the Rockies are so bad, the fact that the Marlins and the White Sox are so bad, and the A's, even though they're having a little success on the field, are still an awful organization. You know, you're right, Tony. This Steinbrenner and people like that would not have allowed this to fall apart to this kind of level. It's bad for the sport to have really, really bad franchises, one and maybe, but not four or five.
Well, I will say this, which is different than it has been, it feels like, the last couple of years. At least there's only four, right? I mean, like, a couple of years ago, we were talking about, like, eight, like, nine teams, like not trying at all.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe, you know, you look at the AL West, you look at the AL East, you look at the Central, you know, and then there's the outliers in some of those divisions, but at least it's only four so far this year. I mean, I feel like that's a step in the right direction.
You might be right.
All right.
All right, hurry it along, Steve.
Oh, hurry it along. Okay. Dallas police will not pursue sexual assault charges against Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, with a police spokesperson saying yesterday that detectives determined there were insufficient evidence for an offense that was committed. I read that very weird, but they said they didn't have enough to go on.
Weird, quote, meaning bad?
No. Yeah, terrible. Yes, that's what it means. Quote, as I have said, this is Dak's lawyer. As I have said from the beginning, Dak is a great football player and an even better human. He would never assault any woman. These false accusations were brought up 7 years after the alleged events for one reason and one reason only: to line the pockets of the accuser and her attorneys. Their behavior is an affront to all the true survivors of sexual assault, end quote. You know, guys, there's always going to be those doubters out there now, and there's always going to be those people that will have to bring this up every time Dak Prescott's mentioned.
Like you.
I'm not going to, because if they don't have evidence, he didn't do it. Tony, if you're Dak Prescott, how do you handle clearing your name?
Wow. I would say you do it in your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep your nose clean. You stay out of trouble. Do the things that, you know, your character highlights. You know, I think that's really all you could do. I mean, he can go on an apology tour if he wants, but I mean, he said that there was no evidence of it. And you know, that's the other side of the coin when these things either, you know, didn't happen the way someone says it did, or didn't happen at all, or whatever the case may be. When these accusations aren't true, this is kind of the ramification regardless, right? You once your name is out there in today's world, and really any world we've lived in, if you got in trouble for something like that, people are always going to look at you sideways. And you know, maybe your behavior didn't reach, you know, that level, but there clearly was something. I mean, maybe there wasn't. And that's the thing. That's the tough part is once that's out there, people will think one way or the other, or they will have their own opinion on it. But I think all he can do ultimately to answer your question is just, you know, do the things that he thinks his character exemplifies on a consistent basis. Chris? Over time, that will do it.
Yeah, I think Tony's hit it. You know, in this situation, you're guilty till proven innocent, and it's going to be really hard to ever prove you're innocent. So I think he's got to carry on, you know, with the best, you know, put the best foot forward. He might want to try to put together some sort of program or that reminds people how to behave in social situations so that this stuff is less likely to happen to other people. But even that is a little risky because it kind of brings everything into focus again. So I think he's probably best just being his best self because, you know, people that are celebrity like Dak Prescott, you know, this kind of thing can land in their lap, unfortunately.
Yes.
Number 3. All right, it's number 3. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Chris. He has
so excited.
Actually, you know, I've been looking at Chris, and he's just sitting there, and then I know why he's been looking so excited.
Woo.
All right. A lot happened with Pat Bev last night. He threw a basketball at fans, and then after the game, he was being asked questions by reporters, but wouldn't answer unless you subscribe to his podcast. Here is the interaction with reporters.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then?
Okay.
No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe
push the mic out.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everybody, make sure you stick around for number 3 because Pat Bev, as we've talked, he's had an interesting 24 hours. And if you're in the media and you need to speak with him, you have to do one thing. So stick around and I'll tell you what
you
that
do?
One thing
you
is.
Buried the best one at number 3?
Yeah, I wanted people to stick along a little bit. I knew that TSL, time spent listening, would be lengthy.
Did you attend any journalism school of any kind?
I actually did go to college and did some communication courses.
Did you pay any attention?
Yes, I paid a lot of attention.
Normally, if you have a list like this, you want to make something really good right off the beginning, or you want to finish strong.
No,
you don't want to bury the lead at number 3.
Maybe as a journalist, but as a radio guy, I got to make sure people stay with us. So I don't want people to get through number 5 and be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
so I got to wait till number 3.
No, you're telling them to wait for number 3, which is very, you know, that's smart because they will wait at least.
Smart.
Hang on. They will wait at least to 3, but now they may fade out for numbers 2 and 1 because you've already told them that 3 is your strong point.
We all know that 2 and 1 aren't the best ones on the list. So.
Wow. Wow.
He's talking about his own work. Like, yeah. You should talk about
I mean, I hate you
take
guys
a little,
sometimes.
Take a little pride, will you?
I do take lots of pride. Sometimes my number 1 comes to me about 3 minutes before I do it.
Most of the time it comes to you.
We're going to start with the A's today.
He says I take a lot of pride as he wears his wrinkled shirt today.
It.
Wow, the pen just flew.
Now, can you get my pen off the floor? Because I can't walk around that far and still talk. But wow. You know, I am wearing a shirt today that I just took the tags off that I bought a year ago thanks to SD Fat Loss. And I thought the wrinkles were going to fall out by the time I got to work. They have not.
Not quite.
It's very wrinkled. So now I'm very self-conscious. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
But it's a nice shirt.
Okay. The Athletics.
It beats out the Killer Whale Nike shirt by a mile.
Nothing beats out that shirt.
That's right. His favorite joint.
All right. Can we get to this? The A's have hired, and I'm going to butcher this name, it's either Galatioto Sports Partners or Galashoto Sports Partners, an investment firm that specializes in sports financing, to scrape together some cash, according to Bill Shaken of the Los Angeles Times. The A's hope Galashoto can secure an additional $500 million in funding that the team can use to build a new ballpark in Las Vegas. In exchange, investors would be rewarded with minority share in the A's franchise. Chris, it's not really a question, but is this a mess or what?
Oh, it's a mess, all right. I don't know. Do you just walk around and come up upon $500 million? I mean, that's not just a, you know, chump change. That's going to be tough for anybody, even if this investment firm is, like, really good at what they do. The baseball is going to have to step in here at some point and make this guy sell this team or get involved somehow. This transfer from Oakland to Las Vegas is getting uglier and uglier. And I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I'm kind of enjoying the chaos in the interim. I do feel bad for the players on that on that team, in that franchise, whose only hope for the next 3 years is to play at a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. But I don't know that they're ever going to get their major league ballpark in Las Vegas, because I have no faith in the A's.
Yes. Tony, what do you think? How big of a mess is this?
Yeah, no, it's certainly a mess is really kind of light. for how Major League Baseball like wants to conduct their business, they want teams, if they're going to move, to have everything kind of lined up, or at least close to lined up, and then you can kind of figure out. I mean, I'm sure just the whole AAA Sacramento thing is not. I'm sure Major League Baseball would prefer it not be that way, but it does seem like they have all been kind of slow to get involved. It seemed like even when the mess was happening in Oakland, they were slow to like get involved before they like had to put some time mandates down, it seemed like. So I don't know. I hope they get this figured out one way or another. You know, if they're not gonna actually be able to move, they need to figure out something in Oakland, right? Am I off on that? I don't know where this even goes if it doesn't end up going to Las Vegas at this point. Because it seems like they've closed the door on that no matter what. So
I've talked to a few people that live in Sacramento, and they are hoping that it just goes their way and this all falls apart.
They just
and then,
play in a minor league
no,
ballpark
the,
for
and
the
then,
rest of
and
time.
And then Sacramento figures it out. But Sacramento has wanted a baseball team for a really long time. I don't know why they should get
who
one.
Who wouldn't want a major league baseball team if it just falls in your lap? But you know, you've got to. I think the city has to do its part in order to get a Major League Baseball team, and it doesn't sound like Las Vegas cares to do anything about these guys. So, you got a crappy owner and a city that doesn't want them. This is a terrible combination, and I blame a lot of it on Corey Seager's pal,
Rob Manfred. Yeah.
Because he just seems like he's asleep at the wheel here. He's like, you know what? I don't know what to do. So
well,
you guys figure it out.
So who cares?
Well, it's embarrassing his sport, and he ought to be smart enough to realize that.
You know, what's different is, there used to be in Major League Baseball, there used to be there was a few owners that you knew were like the big dogs, because they always spoke up in these times, right?
George Steinbrenner would not allow this to happen on his watch.
Because ultimately, that is the club, right? It's the owners, the commission, they're all like in this big club. And so like, there was usually, in the past, there was always somebody, whether you agreed with them or disagreed with them, that was kind of like the spoke, that would speak out. It doesn't seem like there's anybody like that anymore. I mean, the guys that are who used to do it are much older. The White Sox. What's the owner's name there?
Reinsdorf.
It's Reinsdorf. I mean,
he's pretty quiet though.
He's pretty quiet. But remember, he was the one who came out and said that if they had went on strike for the whole year, they could have broke the union. Like, he was the one that was vocally talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't even have. It doesn't even seem like anybody has interest, or maybe they're doing it on purpose. Like, we hope this fails, and that way we keep our hands clean on all this.
Well, baseball ought to figure this out, and I know we're going way too long on one subject.
Yeah,
but
we are.
Here's the thing. Baseball right now has an issue. There are four teams that are pathetic organizations right now in Major League Baseball. At least four. There might be more. And, you know, the fact that the Rockies are so bad, the fact that the Marlins and the White Sox are so bad, and the A's, even though they're having a little success on the field, are still an awful organization. You know, you're right, Tony. This Steinbrenner and people like that would not have allowed this to fall apart to this kind of level. It's bad for the sport to have really, really bad franchises, one and maybe, but not four or five.
Well, I will say this, which is different than it has been, it feels like, the last couple of years. At least there's only four. Right. I mean, like, a couple of years ago, we were talking about, like, eight, like, nine teams, like not trying at all.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe, you know, you look at the AL West, you look at the AL East, you look at the Central, you know, and then there's the outliers in each in some of those divisions, but at least it's only four so far this year. I mean, I feel like that's a step in the right direction.
You might be right.
All right,
hurry it along, straight.
Oh, hurry it along. Okay. Dallas police will not pursue sexual assault charges against Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, with a police spokesperson saying yesterday that detectives determined there were insufficient evidence for an offense that was committed. I read that very weird, but they said they didn't have enough to go on.
Weird, quote, meaning bad.
No. Yeah, terrible. Yes, that's what it means. Quote. As I have said, this is Dak's lawyer. As I have said from the beginning, Dak is a great football player and an even better human. He would never assault any woman. There were these false accusations were brought up 7 years after the alleged events for one reason and one reason only: to line the pockets of the accuser and her attorneys. Their behavior is an affront to all the true survivors of sexual assault. End quote. You know, guys, there's always going to be those doubters out there now, and there's always going to be those people that will have to bring this up every time Dak Prescott's mentioned.
Like you.
I'm not going to, because don't have evidence, he didn't do it. Tony, if you're Dak Prescott, how do you handle clearing your name?
Wow. I would say you do it in your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep your nose clean. You stay out of trouble. Do the things that, you know, your character highlights. You know, I think that's really all you could do. I mean, he can go on an apology tour if he wants, but I mean, he said that there was no evidence of it. And you know, that's the other side of the coin when these things either, you know, didn't happen the way someone says it did, or didn't happen at all, or whatever the case may be. When these accusations aren't true, this is kind of the ramification regardless, right? Once your name is out there in today's world, and really any world we've lived in, if you got in trouble for something like that, people are always going to look at you sideways. And you know, maybe your behavior didn't reach, you know, that level, but there clearly was something. I mean, maybe there wasn't. And that's it. That's the tough part is, once that's out there, people will think one way or the other, or they will have their own opinion on it. But I think all he can do ultimately to answer your question is just, you know, do the things that he thinks his character exemplifies on a consistent basis. Chris? Over time, that will do it.
Yeah, I think Tony's hit it. You know, in this situation, you're guilty till proven innocent, and it's going to be really hard to ever prove you're innocent. So I think he's got to carry on, you know, with the best, you know, put the best foot forward. He might want to try to put together some sort of program or that reminds people how to behave in social situations so that this stuff is less likely to happen to other people. But even that is a little risky because it kind of brings everything into focus again. So I think he's probably best just being his best self, because, you know, people that are celebrity like Dak Prescott, you know, this kind of thing can land in their lap, unfortunately.
Yes.
Number three.
All right, it's number three. I've been waiting for this.
Oh, thanks, Chris. He has
so excited.
Actually, you know, I've been looking at Chris, and he's just sitting there, and then I know why he's
this
been looking
is it.
So excited.
Woo.
All right. A lot happened with Pat Bev last night. He threw a basketball at fans, and then after the game, he was being asked questions by reporters but wouldn't answer unless you subscribe to his podcast. Here is the interaction with reporters.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before I finish. Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then. No
okay,
disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe
push the mic out of the way.
Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
He says it like it's so matter of fact, too.
I'm
like,
shocked. Does everybody in that circle subscribe to his pod?
I don't know, but the guy,
because he's only picking on that one poor gal.
No, yes, he is only picking on her. And going after this, the reporter Den tweeted this morning, I believe, that she received a phone call from Pat Bev apologizing, and also got a call from the Bucks themselves apologizing, and the reporter got to give her credit. She took the high road, and she said she appreciated the support, and she was happy to move forward with everything. But, Chris, you're up first. What should the NBA do about this?
About this thing? Well, first of all, the throwing a ball at a fan, I mean, they're going to look into that incident. And
yes,
they need to. You know, no matter what fans' behavior is like, which is most of the time poor, it's a pretty bad look for you and the league to be gunning a basketball in their direction. Secondly, this is probably the beginning of something. I can see in about 10 years now after games, reporters going down with a credit card and having to be swipe the card in order to interview said people so that they can write stories and make their own money. I don't know. Pat Bev probably thinks he's ahead of his time here. What should they do about this? I don't know. Laugh. Yeah. I mean, what do you mean? This is his own thing. I mean, I'm sorry. If I was a reporter, I would just say, fine, I'm not going to interview you. You're not that important to me. Move on.
All right. Tony, what do you think the NBA should do with Pat Bev for this?
For this, if we're talking about the basketball situation, I think they need to look into it. I don't know if a suspension or a fine is warranted. But there probably will be one of those punishments. In terms of the media situation, I think, you know, that's just an athlete handling his frustration at an extremely poor level from a veteran that actually knows better. But sometimes, I guess, you know, frustration can get the best. You clearly, he was frustrated by the way he threw that ball back at that fan earlier in the game. So I think in terms of this, he called her, gave her a personal apology, talked it out. However, she's happy with where everything is. I don't think there needs to be anything in regards to that part.
All right.
I can't believe she didn't run into the other room and quickly subscribe to his podcast so that we could get a good interview.
I think she thought he was joking, as probably everybody did. But then someone tweeted out as a reporter of the Bucks saying that that's been going on all year since he got traded there, was if you don't subscribe to his podcast, you can't interview him.
He ought to make a sign and just put it up in front of his locker.
That's been ridiculous all year.
But since he got to the Bucks, according to that reporter that I saw tweet.
As he said, respectfully, okay. Please get the microphone out of my face.
Yes, all right.
I don't know. I think this is a crazy situation.
It really is.
Can lead to no good on any side.
Maybe I'm not going to go subscribe to it, but maybe people will now. All right. The New England Patriots drafted wide receiver Javon Baker out of UCF in the fourth round, and he was not happy about it. He posted a video on Instagram showing him working out, saying that there is no way there are 10 better wide receivers in the draft. Draft experts say this was a really good value pick in the fourth round and didn't expect him to be that or last that long in the draft. So, Tony, do you want your draft pick to feel this way or be a little humble?
I want him to feel this way.
Why are you laughing?
Because you and this damn humble thing. When Amon Saint, what's his name?
Amon
Saint.
Amon Ra.
Yeah. I think he had like a whole list of dudes. I think he's actually gone off his list on an interview before.
He keeps it taped in his locker, his list of people that were drafted ahead of him.
Is that true?
Right. Typically, these things are, especially in the game of football, are motivational pieces. Now, I wouldn't have advised him to be talking about it before he's ever got on the field, you know, because anything can happen, injuries, you know, things of that nature. But I definitely don't mind him being pissed off that there were 10 other wide receivers taken in front of him and him feeling like there aren't 10 better wide receivers than him. I want that all day.
Yeah, and I wasn't actually saying that he needs to be humble. I wasn't. Because when I clicked, I thought, oh, this is going to be a really ugly video of this guy. And no, it wasn't. It was more like, I'm working hard. I'm going to prove to everyone. So I think it's a good thing. Chris?
You answered it.
Okay.
I'm trying to get us back on time.
Number one.
Well, I mean, you didn't really need to, because number one is not a very good question, remember, from the beginning of this whole thing. So I told you guys yesterday something that I've done in my life, and that would be I sleepwalk a lot. And I also sleep eat a lot. And so years ago, I made a sandwich with soap in it, and I ate that sandwich. So I wanted to know,
just out of curiosity, going back to that incident.
Yes.
How do you know? Did you wake up while you were eating it?
Great
question. Or did somebody have a video of it?
No, no.
So how would you know?
Because I usually end up looking in the kitchen or on the floor, and I see something that's like half eaten, and it's, you know, soap sandwich.
It's a remnant of your sleepwalk. But how do you know you sleepwalk?
Because I wake up and I know that there's something that's happened. You just
would you know?
I
don't get it.
You can just know if you're sleepwalking. Because I've
I don't
up,
know.
I've woken up in the middle of the street before.
Like in the middle of the street.
Literally. I had a friend. I was staying at their house. I woke up in the middle of their street. I locked myself out of my hotel room one time in my boxers because I was sleepwalking. Had to go to the front desk. It's a whole thing.
Have you had this looked at?
Yes.
And what do they say?
It hasn't.
What is it? To hang with them?
No, the drinking really calmed things down because I was sleepwalking a lot when I was drinking.
When you drank, then you did this.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know how this became about me.
Well, it's about you because you're eating soap sandwiches. I'm trying to figure out how to get this to stop.
Soap sandwiches. Tony, have you ever sleptwalked before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know. I wonder how many people even listening have ever slept.
I think it's more common than you think.
Really?
Remember Step Brothers? You don't wake people up while they're sleepwalking.
It was a movie. I mean, are we a society of sleepwalkers all of a sudden? I got to believe the percentage is like under 1%.
If you are listening right now and you have sleptwalked and you're on the chat, let me know.
I don't know. Was there a question somewhere?
Have you sleptwalked before?
Oh, okay.
It was a long way to get to there.
Well, Chris made it a long way. I mean, I just brought up. Anyway, we're gonna get you
either
soap.
Either that. If you can't solve the sleepwalking, then you got to start buying better tasting soap for the next
real
time.
Real quick, before we finish this, I do need to say, come on, athletes, be better, man. You guys can't be that frustrated where you just start singling people out. That's kind of whack.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
If you don't subscribe to Scraby's podcast, you can't listen to the rest of the show.
I can't even imagine like fixing my face or my mouth to be like, hey, you subscribe to my podcast? No, I can't. I can't even imagine doing that.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get you set for this game between the Diamondbacks and Padres tonight on 97.3 The Fan.